Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that kiss. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Welcome. This is brother Jay.
And this is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the 2018 Bradley Cooper Lady Gaga vehicle. Filmed in Glastonbury and Somerset, England, UK, and many others.
The Oscar award-winning A Star is Born.
Oh dear. Okay. All right.
It was nominated for Best Picture of the Year. In fact, all three main actors, Bradley Cooper, Lady Gaga, and Sam Elliott, they were all nominated for Oscars.
Wow. Okay.
Screenplay was nominated. The song Shallow that was nominated and won.
Wow. Well, I assume Lady Gaga wrote it.
Yeah, with a couple other people, including Mark Ronson.
I have heretofore never seen this movie before. I've actually never seen any of the versions of this movie. I've seen parts of it. I'm familiar with the plot and the premise. None of it was really surprising. It was fine, but it's a musical.
That was your reaction. It was fine. It was an okay movie.
It was fine. I mean, my problem with it is I knew going into it where it was going.
Sure.
And so I was irritated with it from the beginning because it's a trope, right? It's a common. I mean, the story is we've seen it in other stories. So and in fact, this has been told many times before. So I guess. The main thing that I was wondering, like, why was this remade? What spawned this iteration? Why now? Why? I mean, and I'm having not seen any of the rest of them to compare against. I don't know. Maybe they were all crap, but looking at the box office receipts, I don't think that's the case. But and this wasn't terrible. I'm not saying it was bad. I was kind of nonplussed by it.
What did you think of the music?
The music was fine. It's not. I mean, it's weird for Bradley Cooper to try and sing, so that's weird. I'm not a Lady Gaga fan per se, so she's fine. I mean, she's talented. I know I'd give her that, but it's not really kind of in my wheelhouse, if you will. So it's just kind of like it's fine.
She falls into the Beyonce category for me, like. She's got a good voice. She's very talented. Not really the style of music that I like, but every once in a while, they come up with a song that I really dig.
Well, if it comes up on my Pandora and I'm not too irritated, I'll just let it play. But I don't have anything in my iTunes library by Lady Gaga on purpose. I think I have an album because of Derek years ago because he wanted it. I think I had to buy it because he didn't have an account. And so I think I have her first full album in my iTunes that I purchased for someone else. Again, I don't dislike her. She's fine. And I mean,
low battery.
Okay.
No.
That's distressing.
Is that like a smoke detector?
No, it's the handset for my phone, my cordless phone.
Oh, that's an aggressive alert.
It scares the crap out of me every time it happens. Today I was off the rails. We're already off the rails. I'm finishing up the guest room in the house. I should preface the story with, like, a couple of nights ago, as I was finishing furniture by myself at like 11 o'clock at night in the guest room. I get a little freaked out sometimes by myself just because I get inside my own head too much. And mind you, I'm on the second floor. This is the second floor of my house. All the bedrooms are on the second floor. I'm in this bedroom. I've got music on. I've got my little Sony's desktop stereo thing on the TV cart that I've already put together, and finishing up the bed. And somebody knocks on the window.
Oh, no.
Or so I thought. And so I froze. And thought, I must have heard something, or maybe it was a bird. And then it did it again. And it was a rhythm. It wasn't like, it was just like a tap. Mm-hmm. It was like a boom, boom, boom. And so I freaked the hell out and went and got Jesse. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And of course I have a hammer in my hand. Like, I don't know what's going on. Can you go look outside? Because somebody's banging on the window and I'm freaking out. Like, I'm having a full on meltdown at this point. And I'm not going out there. Like, I've seen enough horror movies. Like, this is why I don't watch horror movies, because my mind does this instead. And so he goes out and there's nothing there, of course. Of course there's nothing out there. It happens again. And turns out, I guess, there were fireworks. The neighbors were shooting off fireworks. And the percussion was making the window, was coming through the window in just the right pattern. And I was tired. And, you know, of course it was totally. So I was freaked out the rest of the night. So I'm a little jumpy since that. It's maybe a little jumpy. And so I'm pummeling today and I'm finishing up in some, I'm like doing sheets and folding blankets and putting them in the storage of the new bed, all that. And that little low battery thing goes off, except I couldn't hear it. I couldn't hear the speech. All I heard, there was a voice in my house that wasn't mine. And I'm home alone with the dog. And so I'm just like, oh God, I'm going to die. Sorry. So that's a little insight into a Crazyville tangent. So
that's also the plot of an episode of WandaVision.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, life imitates art, right?
Apparently.
Anyway, back to Lady Gaga. I think she's fine. She's talented. I mean, I respect her. She does a lot of writing. She does a lot of singing and performing. And so I think she's a fine artist. She's just not. She's not one of my favorites. She's not going to be in my top 10 ever, probably. But I respect her. I mean, she did a lot of heavy lifting in this movie. And she can act, so.
As it turns out, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think she was talented. And I think it doesn't hurt that she had Bradley Cooper as a co-star and Sam Elliott as a co-star.
And this is Bradley Cooper's first movie that he directed.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, when this movie came out, I had no interest in it. I had no connection to the previous versions of the story. I haven't seen any of them. I think Bradley Cooper, I think he's good, but he's not like a draw for me. And, you know, a pop star turned actress is always kind of iffy. So this movie just... It held no appeal for me. I don't even remember why I watched it. My wife maybe wanted to watch it, so we watched it. And the first time I saw it, I was actually pretty blown away. I was surprised. I went into it with pretty low expectations. And I enjoyed it quite a bit. For the most part, I liked the music that I was... supposed to like. There's some music in this that is really bad on purpose. Yes. But I liked kind of the vibe of the Jackson Maine sound.
Very grungy.
Yeah, kind of a grungy country based rock.
Kind of like the Black Keys meets Kings of Leon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought Bradley Cooper's performance was really good. I was surprised at how good Lady Gaga's performance was. Even Andrew Dice Clay shows up in this movie, and he's good. He's, in fact, understated in a pretty surprising way.
Is that who that was?
Her dad? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize him. I mean, I recognized him, but I couldn't figure out who it was. Oh, wow. Okay.
Dave Chappelle showed up and was pretty chill.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And wow. Sam Elliott had maybe, I don't know what, 2.5 minutes of screen time, but he was awesome.
But he had some heavy lifting though.
Yeah. I mean, the scene where he took Jack home after rehab. Yeah. That one hit me in the feels.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we can talk about it when we get there, but that was very well done.
Well, this is one of the, again, as I fail to put words out of my mouth.
We don't need them. It's just an audio podcast.
I know. The words are not important. This is a beautiful movie. I mean, it was a gorgeous movie. It was colorful and the sets were vivid and there was a lot of visual storytelling, which is what you want in a movie, of course.
Yeah. But
there was a lot of background that I think they added that wasn't necessary, but it made a huge difference in the film. So
a lot of close-ups. a lot of close-ups on Bradley Cooper's like sweaty face, and a lot of close-ups on just like gazing at Lady Gaga's giant eyes.
I'm still hung up on Andrew Dice Clay. I don't even know what to say. So the funny thing for me is I'm on like season 5 of Alias, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which has got a very young Bradley Cooper in the first couple seasons.
Yeah, so I've only seen maybe the first 4 episodes, but he's like super blonde, right? Super skinny, super blonde.
Yeah, he's young. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know that he's blonde, but he's definitely young. But you know, Ron Rifkin is also in it.
Right. Alias. Yep.
And so there's just a lot of this weird. Like, I just kept. All I could see half the time was his character in Alias, who's kind of this wimpy, skinny, scrawny reporter dude, right? Not a very strong character.
When the few episodes I saw, he had been friend zoned, so his character was like literally impotent for what he wanted to accomplish.
You have to go through and watch it. It's actually pretty good. It's a good not low calorie. It's good empty calories, I would say.
Yeah, it's kind of right up my alley. Low stakes.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous on many faces. Mm-hmm. It's very soap opera-y in some ways, but as I watch it, it makes me very nostalgic, kind of, for the TV of that era. So. Just because of the ridiculousness. So, but anyway, my point was, I kept seeing his character from Alias. Sometimes I would have to remind myself that I wasn't watching that; I was watching a movie. So,
you want to talk about the plot?
Yeah, you can go ahead. You can start.
The plot's pretty simple. I mean, it starts off. It introduces us to the Jackson Maine experience. He's giving a concert, and he is. Drunk and stoned on pills, which he seems to be very accustomed to. He's a high functioning addict, but we get a nice song from him to kick it off, and he appears to be a very popular musician.
Yeah, and again, good job on him. He did a decent job.
Yeah.
Apparently that was him singing, not him playing the guitar, but it was his singing.
Yeah, it was. He it reminded me a lot of the vibe of Almost Famous. Like the actors are actually in that movie are actually performing some of the music, and they're pretty decent. But yeah, then we cut to some restaurant or hotel catering service. It's unclear, but we're introduced to Allie and her pal Ramon from Hamilton, and Allie is a server of some sort, and she's unappreciated, and she's just trying to get out of there because she has someplace to go that night. And that someplace turns out to be a drag bar where she performs. And it just so happens Jackson Maine is being driven home from his concert. I guess not even home, to the next gig. And he runs out of booze in his car. So they go looking for some booze. And he stumbles across this bar that he's going to go in and get loaded at. And it's this particular drag bar. So Ramon notices who he is and brings him inside and tells him he has to see his friend Ali perform. And what I really liked about Bradley Cooper's performance as Jackson Maine is you see why people are attracted to him, even though he's kind of this gross looking sweaty mess. He's actually very, when he wants to be, he's very charming as a default. Like when people are talking to him, he actually listens and he's very thoughtful about, asking follow-up questions so that, he communicates how attentive he is. So he really brings people in that way. And
he's very well stage managed.
Yeah. And we come to understand later in the movie that, yeah, this is an affect that he's developed because he's not well mentally, but he has become very practiced at, putting up a good front. So he has a couple drinks and watches the performances. And then Ali comes out and does a French song, La Vie en Rose. Yes. And he is immediately enamored with her voice.
Even though he's completely drunk and stoned.
Yeah, well, that's his baseline, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, you mentioned the visuals in this movie. This performance by her as a shot is very dreamlike, because she's got weird makeup on with fake eyebrows and the lighting is weird. Lots of close-ups on her as she goes through, and it ends with that shot of her making eye contact with him at the end.
It's very cabaret Liza Minnelli-esque.
If you say so. I haven't seen Cabaret.
You're fine. I saw a version of it with Stormlord, so.
Liza Minnelli. Hall of Fame Arrested Development character.
Lucille, too.
Yes. But yeah, so Jackson likes her so much that he wants to meet her and convinces...
Well, her friend, Ramon, is really... Ramon, right?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Ramon. Yeah, Ramon's really pushing.
Played by Anthony Ramos, who was just in The Heights.
Ramon's really pushing for them to be together because Ramon recognizes him.
Yeah.
Like right off the bat, everybody at the bar seems to be nonplussed by him, doesn't really care. But it was funny at the beginning where he was like, I don't think this is your kind of bar, man. He goes, did they have alcohol? Yeah, it's my kind of bar.
Yep.
He's like, okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't care.
No.
He's kind of amused. At one point, he's like, is this a drag show? Yeah. Yeah, so he goes backstage, he meets her, he convinces her to go out, and she has to take all her makeup and stuff off, so he waits for her, and while he's waiting, one of the performers or employees of the place, maybe both.
I think both.
Yeah. Kind of convinces him to do a song for them. So he gets up and he sings a song called Maybe It's Time. Again, which I really liked.
She convinces him after he signed her boobs.
Yeah. Yes.
Or her pecs, as it was probably more likely.
I assume they were prosthetics.
No, they were probably just pecs.
Oh, you think
so? They were probably just bustier.
Oh, because I thought later in the movie she was talking to Allie on the phone, maybe before the Grammys, and she said she was wearing her, what she called her, Jackson tits.
I think that meant they were still signed.
Oh. Well, good for her. But yeah, I dug that song. It was kind of this low key, kind of bluesy, country-ish song.
It was kind of sad.
It was really sad, but
I mean, it was discordant in comparison. It was very, you know, it was very contrary. You know, Olivia and Rose is a really kind of a beautiful love song, and then there's this, I'm an empty vessel, and I'm, you know, I'm just broken, and I'm this person. Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, the title refers to the notion of maybe it's time to let the old ways die.
Yeah, it's not a very subtle song.
No. So then Allie finally comes out, and they end up going to a cop bar because cop bars apparently are open all night because no one's going to tell them to close down,
I suppose. And this is at the point where I wrote down, is he supposed to be stupid or just redneck drunk as fuck? I couldn't tell yet this early on. I was trying to decide.
What made you think he was dumb?
Just because he was his mental process was really, I mean, I realized he was drunk and stoned, right? But he just wasn't with the flow. It was very slow in the uptake.
Well, he's drunk, stoned, and we find out pretty quickly, very deaf.
Ah. I see, I didn't catch that, so.
Yeah, he cannot hear worth shit. I think he compensates maybe by acting dumb. Or maybe he often doesn't respond quickly because I think since he can't hear, he's searching for context,
trying to see if he can absorb it. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. So they're in the cop bar, and they're having strange conversations about her nose.
Yep. Yeah. She has tried to break into the music industry, but she's been told she's too ugly. Which I believe is a real thing Lady Gaga experienced.
Yes, I believe so too.
And then one of the cops there comes over and he's kind of hassling Jackson for a picture, in a way that he seems very accustomed to, even though the guy's being kind of a dick.
This is normal for him. This is just another. These are my fans kind of thing. He seems very conditioned to the lifestyle that he's been accustomed to.
Yeah, and we get a glimpse of some of Allie's demons at this point, because she loses her shit and just punches the cop.
I didn't understand that. Why? What was it that they? Because I don't think it's ever explained. Something wound her up so much she just punched the guy.
Well, she was also, I think at that point she was getting pretty tipsy, and she didn't appreciate that the guy was being rude to her friend. So she seems like one of those.
All right. Like,
you talk shit to her friend, she's gonna throw some hands.
I can understand that. And this is where I wrote down: is it pecan or is it pecan?
Either one. Yeah,
but how do you say it?
I would say he tells her that he grew up on a pecan farm.
No, no, no. But I'm asking you what you say.
That's what I say.
Oh, okay. All right. Yes. Well, 127 acres of nuts, Navajo, and nowhere to go.
Yep. And a brother who's old as fuck.
Yeah. Who's old enough to be his dad, clearly.
Yeah.
And I think is literally well old enough to be his dad in reality anyway.
Yeah. Sam Elliott's so good.
I believe he lives in Oregon somewhere, so.
Well, if you see him, tell him good looking out.
As if I leave the house. No, I'd run into Danny Glover before I'd run into Sam Elliott.
Yeah, so Jackson knows what you have to do after a fight. So they go to a store to get her some frozen peas to ice down her hand.
Which works, by the way. Frozen peas are awesome for first aid cooling.
All the surface area?
Because they're round, but there's a little bit of air between, so they don't get so cold that they freeze you, but they kind of soften as they warm up, and so you can kind of roll them around in the bag and get the cold ones, and then you can throw them back in the freezer and freeze them up and reuse them, and yeah. So they're pretty good. They're pretty good as ice packs as far as surface area.
Nice. Yeah. They, in the parking lot, they bond and flirt and talk about songwriting. She mentions that, she doesn't like to sing her own songs because it's too vulnerable or something. And on the spot, she comes up with some lyrics that turn out to be the song Shallow. And that part I thought was pretty cheesy, but it's got a good payoff. So I will allow it.
Bradley Cooper is, he's a year older than you.
Okay. And Sam Elliott's like 74.
I'm doing the math right now. So he was born in 44. So he was 31. So Sam Elliott was 31 when Bradley Cooper was born. So in real life.
Yeah.
So that's about right. I thought the grocery store scene was cute.
Yeah.
But I also was really cringed when the cashier took his picture. Because I was expecting her to get punched in the face too.
Yeah, and he kind of makes a joke out of the fact that that's a possibility.
Night's not over, right?
Yeah. So he takes her home and has the moment that became a meme where he calls her back and tells her he just wants to look at her one last time. And he wants her to go to his show the next night, and she says no,
which is no longer the next night. Really, it's the end of the same day, I think.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
And she says, "No, I gotta work. Like I'm a real person. Like I have a job. I gotta go do stuff."
Mm-hmm. And then he has a real person moment as he's driving away, and he turns to his driver, who's been there the whole time with him.
By the way, who is also the driver, mm-hmm. also an alias.
Yep. Well, and he's like in every J.J. Abrams movie. Or Alias, and that was J.J. Abrams, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're like childhood friends, right?
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, so he was also in the J.J. Abrams Star Wars movies. And on Heroes.
Yeah. Heroes, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, they're driving away, and Jackson is like in his drunk mumble. He's like, maybe I fucked that up. 'Cause she turned him down.
Yeah. I don't think he's used to that.
Yeah.
Either.
I assume that doesn't happen to him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we get a little glimpse of, Allie's home life. She lives with her dad and all of her dad's either employees or coworkers seem to be there at all times too.
It was a little mafia-esque.
Yeah. It was weird.
I didn't understand it. I mean, she said, well, you know, my dad drives for a living. I'm like, okay, but all these other people live there too?
Yeah, or they just hang out there all the time. It's unclear, yeah. But they're always there.
And I think the implication is that her dad is not really good by himself. And since her mother died, he's been a little crazy. And so there's always people around now.
Yeah, she never gets explicit with it, but she alludes to the fact that she is she has a lot of experience in dealing with drunk people.
She's completely not impressed by anything that's going on in the house, including the mess that has been created.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when she is getting ready to go to work the next day, the driver, I don't know what his name is, Greg Grunberg, the actor, right?
Yeah. Does he ever actually, did they ever name him in the movies? Or
I have no idea.
It's just as Phil, Jack's driver.
Phil. Good for you, Phil.
Greg Grunberg. Yes.
Yeah. He shows up to take her to the concert. And again, she says, no, I have to go to work. But he's like, well, I can't go back without you. So he just like hangs around like a creep.
Well, he tells her, he's like, I'm just going to wait. You know, I can't wait there. I will have to wait here. Mm-hmm. I'll wait here all night long if I have to, but I'm waiting here. I can't go back there.
Yeah. And he does.
So you feel kind of bad for him in a way. Cause you know, he's like, he's this errand boy and he's like, oh, you know, it's like the things he doesn't want to have to deal with. Although I bet he's paid very well in this world.
I hope so. He's earned it. Because
he keeps all the secrets too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess they say they're friends. I mean, you get the impression they're friends.
Yeah. Because Jackson was talking to him about his kid and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Allie goes to work and she tells Ramon about the invitation. And he thinks she's nuts for not going.
Don't we all think she's nuts?
Yeah.
For not going? Yeah. I mean,
but she knows Jackson's a drunk and she doesn't have a lot of faith in him as a human being at this point. But yeah, her boss says one thing too many to her and she just, at that point, she just like, fuck it. And she walks off the job. And in a vicarious way, I'm sure it was very satisfying for many people watching this movie.
Oh yeah, no, it's wish fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. And so Phil takes her to the airport. Her and Ramon tags along. Ramon makes up pretty good during this part of the movie.
It really does.
Gets them to a private jet. They're whisked away to a concert. I don't know where the concert is, but
doesn't matter.
Yeah, doesn't matter. They show up. It's a stadium, and they get escorted all the way backstage, and in time to see Jackson play another one of his songs. Is it the Alibi song? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
A decent song.
Yeah, I mean, they're all decent.
Yeah,
I mean,
good rocking song.
With the exception of that horrible Saturday Night Live song.
Yeah. But yeah, and that was bad on purpose, right?
Right. No, I got it. Yeah. No, it was. And it was what I would say is an accurate representation of what I see on Saturday Night Live. So.
It's on the nose for sure as like a vapid pop song.
Yes.
Yeah. which is funny because one of the first times I ever saw a Lady Gaga performance where I was like, oh, she's super talented. It was on Saturday Night Live when she did, She sat at a piano and did a really slow version of one of her songs, just her singing at the piano. instead of the whole pop production.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, she can really sing.
Yeah. She's really talented.
Yeah. I don't even remember what year that was or what song she sang. I just remember being really surprised. But yeah, and then comes the make it or break it moment of the movie. Like, if this moment doesn't work for you, I don't think the movie's going to work for you. And it's when Jackson comes over to her at the side of the stage and tells her to come out and sing her song with him that he has kind of arranged, put music to, and come up with an intro verse on his own based on her lyrics. And she doesn't want to go. But he goes out and he starts the song anyway. And the song is Shallow. And while playing, she finally gets the courage to go out and joins him for the second verse and just belts it out, to the amazement of everybody on stage and in the audience. She's great. It's a great, great performance. And, that was the moment when I was watching this movie where I thought, oh, okay, this movie got me. Like, that's kind of a goosebumps moment for me. I've seen this movie all the way through twice now and watched this scene, you know, a couple more times. And it still works for me. I still think it's great. It's like the early days of American Idol, where there was just, I don't know if you ever watched it, but you'd have to wade through so much shit. But every once in a while, there'd be a transcendent performance. And it seems like the moment where someone actually exceeded what they thought was their potential, and everybody can kind of feel it happening at the time. Those are the kind of moments that give me goosebumps. And this is one of those. I thought it was very well, very well done.
Yeah, boyfriend Jesse said the same thing. He was like, ooh, gives me chills, gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, it kind of gives the movie the credit to do the rest of what it wants to do.
And I'm going to take a guess, but the only song that I see that she did on Saturday Night Live that was her in a piano that was not produced with a bunch of other people, looks like A Million Reasons. So,
sounds right.
It's like her in an upright piano,
mm-hmm.
In like this white coat and this weird tan hat.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's the one.
So yeah, no, the pivotal song in the movie, you know, was, and I've heard it. Of course, I've heard it on the radio. Like, I don't know how many times it has been on the radio. It was like omnipresent for a while.
It was. Did you like it?
I liked it the first like 100 times I heard it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they certainly made the awards circuit singing it together.
Did they?
Oh, yeah. They had great, great chemistry. People were surprised that he was still with his girlfriend at the time.
And then at this point, in the movie, I wrote down this. How weird must it have been for Bradley Cooper to pretend to be a big stage singer and performer in the presence of Lady Gaga, who was actually a big stage performance artist? Like, how intimidating would that be? I mean, just mm-hmm. the juxtaposition, right?
Yeah. And I have no idea how they filmed this. Like, if they were smart, they would have just filmed those scenes at what I assume were the size of Lady Gaga concerts.
And I put clearly the singing on stage was before COVID because they were,
oh yeah,
you know, yeah,
right in each other's faces, sharing mics,
spitting on each other in each other's mouths. So,
Yeah, I think this is the first time we meet the brother Bobby, right?
Yes.
Because after the concert, well, he takes her back to the hotel room. And
I think we saw him earlier because before the performance that day, he was talking about the monitors that he had to wear.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's the whole scene where Jackson goes to the doctor, and the doctor is talking about his hearing
loss.
You're
not going to get it back, but we can stop it from progressing.
Yeah, very, very Sound of Metal. Did you ever watch Sound of Metal?
It's in my queue. I haven't watched it yet.
That's so good. But yeah, so after the concert, she goes back to his hotel room with him, and she does the girl thing of give me a couple minutes to get ready. But by the time she comes back out of the bathroom, he is completely passed out.
And it's about right.
And his brother Bobby's there to, you know, make sure he doesn't choke on his own vomit.
Right.
And kind of
as you do.
Yeah, and kind of says a couple snarky things about his drinking to the newest girl, Allie. Yeah,
like, this is nothing. This isn't even bad.
Yeah. And she seems a little nonplussed, but she goes to sleep next to him. And he wakes up in the middle of the night. They get it on, and then they have a huge breakfast.
Yeah, I was kind of jealous of the breakfast.
Breakfast looked amazing.
I know, it did. It really did. I thought, wow, that would be like a $500 hotel breakfast.
Yeah, they just got one of everything, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much what it looked like.
Yeah,
and then I wrote down, is his mumbling supposed to be because of his hearing loss? It must be. Because he mumbles.
He does, yeah. I cannot imagine watching this movie without subtitles.
Oh, I had to turn them on.
Yeah.
At a certain point, because I was like, I was trying so hard. I was missing parts of the movie. I was trying to concentrate on the dialogue so hard. I thought, this is too much work. So yeah, I'm glad for subtitles.
Yeah, and so they start an honest to goodness relationship, professional and personal. She goes on tour with them, becomes part of the set.
We get the whole scene with her dad and his coworkers about the YouTube thing. What's an algorithm?
Yeah, they think it's an actual rhythm. Yeah, because Shallow goes viral.
Yeah, and at this point, this is where I wrote: is this a Disney film? Because you know, there's a you know, a young dead mom, and then you know, a dad in absentia, and this is like Disney-esque.
Well, if she had been pregnant at the end of the movie, this would be like a Pixar prequel. But yeah, so they go out on tour, they get closer personally. He takes her to his home, the pecan farm, which turns out is now which he had purchased and given to his brother. And they show up and he finds out it's now a wind farm. So he has not been back in a very long time.
It was sad and funny at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And we get the first glimpse of the dark side of Jackson Maine when he goes to confront his brother about it. He's not happy that his brother sold the ranch without even telling him, because that's where their dad was buried. And they have a really, supposedly. Yeah, they have a really, a dirty fight. Like, you know, when you have a fight with a loved one, there are some things that are out of bounds, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah. When you go there, you guys both know that you've crossed a line.
Right.
And they both go there, in this fight, and,
mutually assured destruction.
Yeah. Bobby accuses Jackson of like stealing his sound. Like, you stole my voice. And Jackson tells him it's because he never had the courage to do anything with it. And then Bobby questions why he idolized their father, because he was just a drunk who turned a very young Jackson into his drinking buddy. And Jackson punches him, and Bobby quits.
Yeah. Seems about right.
Yeah. And I think it's pretty clear that at this point, Allie realizes that with Bobby quitting, now she's Jackson's caretaker.
Well, because she realizes through all, by the, witnessing this, that his brother has been his caretaker and fixer. And now there is no caretaker and fixer, and so it's going to fall to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we get some more some kind of touring scenes. We get another duet with them, Remember Us This Way. It's a decent song. Not as good as Shallow, yeah, but...
She's so paranoid that she takes a giant shot before she goes on stage, which of course would help all your vocal cords.
Right. Yeah. And they make a big deal that they were going to do that song as an encore.
Yeah.
And it's after that performance that she gets approached by Satan, right? Like that, yes. That guy is the devil. A music, yes, producer, Rez.
Ugh.
Who. Watching this movie the second time, all I saw anytime he was on screen was like the South Park version of the devil.
I like the South Park devil. He's adorable.
Yeah. He approaches her and gives her the "I think you could be a star, kid. Come with me" speech. And after she tells Jackson about this, we see some more of his dark side. When
it's interesting though, it's hard to tell if it's his dark side because I don't know. That's the problem. That's the thing about this movie. They were pretty good. I give him credit for this because they make it look like it's his dark side, but then he does very positive things about it, like telling her, like, this, you know, this is your voice, this is your chance, this is what you should do, and remember these moments. You know, he's actually got some sage advice because he's been there.
Yeah, when he's sober or sober-ish.
Yeah,
but when he was super drunk, he responded by smashing food in her face.
Yeah, the donut assault.
Mm-hmm.
What was with the flat donut, by the way? It was totally flat on the bottom. What the hell? What kind of crazy flat-ass donut? Like, I don't know what that was about.
Must be super fancy.
Mm.
But yeah, and he has a couple of those cycles throughout the movie where he does something truly awful and then follows it up with something pretty nice.
Yeah. Which is probably about right.
Yeah. Not great.
No. Not great. He's got issues. He's got some demons.
Yeah, he does, for sure. But he is supportive of her in his way. And so she starts pursuing this solo career with Rez. And that's when he really starts to spiral out of control because he has way more time on his own. She's busy with her own stuff. His brother's not around. So, yeah, he is supportive enough that he doesn't come right out and say, the type of music you're doing is shit.
Yeah, and Rez is a snake.
Yeah. But he does things to let her know that that's how he feels.
Yeah.
And then she has her first solo show that she's been practicing the choreography for, which he's not impressed with. He misses it. And we get a glimpse of what her pop life would be when she goes out and performs alone because she didn't want her dancers there. And Rez kind of gives her the riot act after that, essentially saying,
yeah,
you don't know better. When I tell you to do something, you do it. You don't get to sideline your dancers. Yeah, and Jackson just goes and gets completely loaded and somehow winds up passed out in front of one of his old friends' houses.
But this is after they get a dog.
Yeah, they've moved in together. They've got some country house, which must be near LA somewhere. But yeah, so they've entered into a full-on domestic relationship with a dog. You're right.
Yeah,
a cute right. dog, but as a middle-aged father, that dog looked like a nightmare. A lot of hair to deal with, but very cute. But yeah, so he ends up outside his buddy's house, who's played by Dave Chappelle. Oh, and Dave Chappelle's wife is Robert De Niro's daughter.
Oh. Huh?
Weird connections in this movie.
It's funny. And it's when I wrote, look, instant marriage, just add codependence.
yeah, because Ali has no idea where he went. He didn't show up to her show. He, from her perspective, he just disappeared. And she eventually tracked him down, and she gives him the "this is the last time" speech. So he responds by making a ring out of a guitar string and proposing to her.
He entraps her, basically. Of course, it'll be the last time as you get to do this as a civilian, because now I'm going to marry you and you're going to do it because you'll be wife.
Yeah. The dog didn't work, so we're going to get married. The next step would be to have a baby together to keep the relationship alive.
So through all this, they just throw an instant wedding, right?
Yeah.
Don't you have to have a license?
I assume.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe they're in Nevada. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe they flew to Reno for the day or something. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Unclear, but it happened. And her career continues to go well while his is not doing so well. She gets the season finale of Saturday Night Live, where we see the god awful song that she performs on that show. It's terrible.
So it was so bad. It must have killed her to do that too.
Probably.
I mean, I can't imagine being as talented as she is and singing as much as she does, having to perform that kind of drac, because it was just the worst. It, believable though, yeah. As we discussed, absolutely believable. It could have been a Kesha song.
Yeah. Early Kesha.
So Saturday Night Live with Alec Baldwin. That was a weird choice.
Well, of course, it was either going to be him, Tom Hanks, or John Goodman, right?
Or Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. They're the only ones who still host Saturday Night Live, right?
I think so. I don't know. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live in I don't know how long.
I haven't either.
Yeah. Every now and then I will watch it on one of the... Well, no, I was going to say no. I haven't watched it since before we moved, so...
Yeah. And Jackson, after the wedding and the disappearance fiasco, he's been doing his best to keep his shit together. He hasn't been drinking much, but as soon as, even before her performance on Saturday Night Live is done, he goes and finds a bottle of whiskey, and he starts spiraling again.
Well, she's nominated for 3 Grammys,
including Best New Artist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
he gets you know, he books the Roy Orbison tribute, right?
Yeah.
Except as it turns out, not really a singer.
Yeah, they just want him to play guitar while one of the new artists sings the song. But before that show, there's the fight in the bath, which is very unpleasant. She's taking a bath and he chooses this time to come in and give her shit about how dumb that song is. And essentially tell her that she's doing what he doesn't consider to be real music.
Yeah. Well, he's offended because he thinks that he gave her this career and elevated her and gave her a voice that she thinks is important because she said she had something important to say, and he gave her the vehicle to give her something important, the ability to give her the way to say the things, and then she's not using it.
Right.
In the way that he approves of.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm going to give you this gift, and then I don't like what you're doing with the gift, so I'm going to tell you what I think you should do with the thing that I gave you.
Yeah. And she's sitting there like, I just got nominated for 3 Grammys, so fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. She's not a shrinking violet in these moments.
No, she's righteous. I mean, she's entitled.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was tense.
Yeah. And you're right. At this point in the movie, we're under no illusions about how it's going to end. It's going to end poorly and tragically. Yeah. But
one way or another.
Yeah. And while the ending is predictable, I'm going to put money on the fact that you did not predict the inciting incident at the Grammys.
Oh, no. I was suitably like, wow. Yeah, no.
Yeah, the first time I watched the movie, both my wife and I were very shocked. Right? Oh, no.
It was super cringy. I mean, it was super cringy. Just his drunken behavior was super cringy, right?
Right.
Just that, yeah. on its face, stumbling onto the stage and falling. That was super cringe. I mean, there was like so many layers of cringe. It was uncomfortably painful to watch.
Yeah, because he goes all Steven Tyler before his performance, and he's snorting pills and he's hammered, and he can barely stand up. Doesn't know really where he is when he's on stage and they're performing Pretty Woman, but he still plays the shit out of the guitar.
Well, he's deliberately overdriving his guitar so that he is the focus of the song.
Oh yeah. He's upstaging the singers at every opportunity. And she's sitting in the audience realizing that this is not good. She sees him and she's like, oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, there's no way she'd have that long a speech.
Right. Yeah.
There's no way. I was like, as she kept talking, I'm like, she would already been played off.
Yeah. Yeah. So she wins Best New Artist, and he's sitting next to her because the production team dragged him out of on the way to go to the bathroom. They forcibly put him next to her for the cameras, and he's so loaded. He has no idea what's going on. Like, everybody starts cheering and she starts hugging him, and he doesn't know if she's won or he's won something or what's happening. And she goes up on stage and he's going with her, and she has to tell him like at the steps, like, no, this is for me. You stay here. And he kind of trips and just sits there, and yeah, like you're saying, super cringy just watching, like, so uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it was like watching a car accident in slow motion.
Yeah. And when she gets around to thanking her team and ends with thanking him, he comes up on stage, and yeah,
Yeah.
He's like pointing at the screen behind her, being like, hey, look, we're on TV. And like, he's that level of drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he, while standing next to her,
he Vern Troyer's.
No battery. That's exactly what happened to him, too. Yeah. Yeah, he just pisses himself in front of
just
all the cameras and the audience. And she actually has some quick thinking. She gets in front of him, covers him up with her giant dress, and tries to get him off stage, but he collapses.
Yeah, and he gets the bums rushed by her dad and the group.
Yeah, there's some good stuff from Andrew Dice Clay. That's a real dad moment. He is so pissed. So pissed at Jackson. Just throws him in the shower and turns cold water on him. And she's still very sympathetic towards him at this point. But yeah, he ends up going to rehab.
Support group.
Yeah. Doing the work, having deep conversations about suicide attempts at 12-year-old with his old alias co-star.
And they talk, and then there's this hugely long scene about he ascribes his deafness to putting his head in the speaker of a Victrola, or the cone of a Victrola. That's what he attributes his hearing impairment to.
Yeah, so I think this supports your... Maybe he's just dumb theory.
Well, and I was telling boyfriend Jesse, I'm like, no, it wasn't the Victrola. It was the opioids that were giving him hearing loss.
Do opioids cause hearing loss?
If you have a high level of abuse, then that's what happened to Rush Limbaugh. That's why he had to have cochlear implants, because he had done so much drugs that they had eaten. They don't eat, but they had damaged his hearing.
I would have just assumed it was his years and years of unprotected hearing at super loud concerts.
I'm sure that that's how the movie was written, but my speculation, you know, I was just like, well, you know, opiates can harm your hearing too if you're abusing them.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Opioid receptors in the inner ear can cause partial or full hearing loss. Particular in high doses can cause deafness, sometimes irreversibly.
Who knew?
Yeah, it's mainly with hydrocodone, but opiates in general. So,
yikes.
Just another reason not to be abusing them.
Sure. Yeah, so I mean, we can yada yada kind of the rest of the movie. There's some good scenes with him at rehab with her.
Well, and he has a homecoming, right? And then there's the kind of him trying to be the sober husband, right?
Well, there's the scene when his brother Bobby drives him home, and the scene just crushes me every time. Because he's going home from rehab, and it's because I just relate to it too much. There's like a lot of small talk and, you know, not talking about the actual things. And then when he drops him off, he's like, all right, you good? Okay. I'm good. You're good. Okay, good. And then as Jackson's getting out of the car, he drops the
emotional grenade.
Yeah, it wasn't Dad I idolized, it was you. And then Sam Elliott. And then just kind of walks in. Sam Elliott as Bobby, like, this is probably the part I relate to. Like, he doesn't even respond. He just has to leave as quickly as possible because he's gonna start crying and losing his shit.
Yeah.
And just like the look on his face as he turned around, because the camera stayed stationary and it was behind him, and he turned around to reverse out of the driveway, and it was like the anguish of trying to hold back so much emotions.
He's so good an actor.
Yeah. And like he didn't say anything. He just drove away with that look on his face. And yeah, that destroys me.
Yeah, it will wreck you. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Charlie, the dog, Rez shows up and Charlie growls at him.
Because he's the devil.
I know.
Yeah, Jackson's doing so well, and he's so clear. He's writing songs at the piano, and Allie's happy to have him back. And she tells Rez that she wants him to finish out the tour with her. And Rez is like, no way. This guy's going to destroy your career. So then he stops by and has a chat with Rez has a chat with Jackson, where essentially says the same thing to him. You're holding her back. If you have another public disgrace, her career will be over and it'll be your fault. So I don't want you anywhere near her.
Yeah. So he really didn't learn coping skills in his support rehab group.
No. Well, he did okay at that point. Like that's not what sent him off the rails. It was when she came home and she told her that she canceled the European leg of her tour so she could spend the rest of the summer with him. And he didn't believe her. He assumed that her tour had been canceled because of him. And she wanted him to... Oh, go ahead.
I didn't assume that. I assumed what had happened is that she decided that she wasn't going to do it without him. And so she's deliberately opting out of the tour to stay home with him. And he knew that she was basically sacrificing her career because of him.
Yeah, I can see that.
And that's why he was so guilty. Because if it had been Rez that had done it and he could have blamed Rez, I don't think he wouldn't have taken that step. He would have found a way to get even with Rez because he's that kind of guy.
Probably. Yeah. I think you're right.
So my gut was that she lied to him about it so that he didn't question why she wasn't going. You know, I'm going to stay here with you. When really it was that she was worried about him and he couldn't come with her on tour. So, you know, she said, we're just going to do this instead.
Yeah.
And that's when he knew she was going to lie to him to keep him safe at the expense of her career. And he was like, oh, nope.
Yeah. She's got one last show at the Forum. And she wants him to show up and sing Shallow as an encore. And he's reluctant, but he agrees. And so she goes and he's going to meet her there. But he doesn't meet her there.
Nope.
Said he cooks a giant steak for the dog.
Why was this a thing?
I don't know.
I didn't understand this part of the movie. I'm like, well, I don't get it. Like what is this supposed to symbolize? I don't understand.
Like, he's not going to be around for the rest of his life to give him dog treats. So he's just going to give him a giant, overcooked steak now.
And it's like the dog's going to eat better than he ever has. And like, he's going to be happy the guy killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes out to the garage and finishes what he started at age 12. Hangs himself.
Yeah.
And they don't show much, but again, good direction here. They show the dog really sadly, like laying down outside the garage door. Like, that's crushing too.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jackson's totally no more. Yeah.
But the cinematography was great though, because you see the house and the blue and red lights.
And yeah.
The slow dissolve into the house.
Yep.
So it was very well done. So.
Mm-hmm. But the movie's not over.
Nope.
No, we get a couple aftermath scenes. We get a really nice, another good Sam Elliott scene. Allie and Bobby kind of talk through some things, reminisce about Jackson. Good work from Sam Elliott here.
Oh yeah.
And then there's the memorial service scene where she comes out into a packed theater and sings the last song that he wrote for her. And I don't know how you felt about this. I did not like it. I thought that ending was really indulgent in a bad way. And really kind of eye-rolly until the end when they brought me back in. They got me again because she's kind of giving a pretty over-the-top emotional performance. Not her best work in the movie, I think. And then they cut to Jackson. They cut to a scene of Jackson singing it for her at the piano.
Yeah.
And that pulled me back.
That was a good move.
Yeah, it was.
I agree with you. It was gratuitously emotionally manipulative.
Mm-hmm. It was not working
in a ham-handed way. It was kind of yeah. Plus, it is a song about him killing himself.
Turns out,
so it's a song about him killing himself that she sings at a memorial after he kills himself. I don't know that this would be the song I would be singing. Certainly not sharing it with the world, but I don't know. I mean, grief does weird things to people, so.
Well, it was, you could read it that way, but it was, on the surface, it was a love song to her, right?
It was a goodbye song.
Well, with the context we have now.
Well, again, I mean, but he, you know, manipulative. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the end of the movie. Final thoughts?
Like I said, it wasn't a terrible movie. I didn't hate it. It was fine. I don't know why this movie. Like, why? I just don't get it. I don't know why they decided to redo this movie. I don't have anything against it. I'm struggling with. You know, there's already been three iterations of this movie, so.
You're giving a version of the Jackson Maine speech. You're like, you have a voice and an opportunity. Why did you choose this to be the thing you're saying?
So you know, this is it's probably a B movie. It's not an A in my book, because it was, again, it's been done before, and it was predictable. It had some good moments, it had some great, I mean, for God's sakes, I didn't even know it was Andrew Dice Clay until you told me. So I thought he looks familiar, it looks weird, his weird
did you fact check that, by the way?
I did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, full cast and crew.
I'd be really embarrassed if that was not him.
No, it was. It was. oh, yeah.
I think B is right. I was blown away, probably. Mostly because I had such low expectations to begin with the first time I saw this movie. But at the same time, this is a movie about music and musicians. And, you know, if it's not comic books, Star Wars, or Iko Uwais, a music movie is always going to get me. So I was already kind of half in the bag for it, just on those merits alone. But then I was really surprised by how good the performances were, how much I liked the music. Sam Elliott is always great.
I wrote down, Sam Elliott changes everything.
Yeah.
Had it been a different actor, this would have been a different movie.
And it's weird to see him without a mustache. He was a villain in one of the last seasons of the TV show Justified, and he didn't have a mustache, and it was so off-putting all season to see him without a mustache.
Well, it made him better as a villain, though, I bet.
Yeah, because every time you saw him, you were immediately uncomfortable.
It's his evil twin, you know,
yeah,
the one without the mustache. Also, Dave Chappelle did a surprisingly good job, I thought.
Yeah, everybody in this movie did a really good job. So I think you have to give the credit to the director, Bradley Cooper, for getting really good performances out of everybody. And putting out such a coherent movie.
It took me a while. It took me a while, the first 15 minutes of the movie, because I just kept hearing Rocket in my head. And boyfriend Jesse was like, what? And I'm like, you have Rocket. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, Bradley Cooper was Rocket in Guardians of the Galaxy. And he was like, I didn't know that. I'm like, how did you not know? how did you not? So, but then I forget. I've seen that movie, you know, way more times than he has. I've probably seen it more than you and Eric and him combined. So
probably. You have any final thoughts or notes on the movie?
Those are my notes. I'm just going through some of the trivia. A Star is Born is, let's see, each version of the movie was nominated for an Oscar.
Interesting.
Apparently True Grit is the only movie that shares that, where both iterations were nominated for Oscars. The 2010 True Grit did not win. Let's see, trivia. This is all from IMDb, by the way. Bradley Cooper said that Lady Gaga was the one who convinced him they should sing live. Gaga said she hated watching movies where the actors were not lip-syncing correctly to the song. And to avoid this, and to get it right, they needed to sing live for the film. This caused Cooper to get more extensive vocal training.
Good for him.
And apparently Bradley Cooper has dealt with alcohol and drug addiction in his real life.
So he knew exactly how sweaty he was supposed to look.
I guess. Bradley Cooper was taught to play guitar by Lucas Nelson, Willie Nelson's son. Sam Elliott said that the scene of Jackson and Bobby getting in a fight was his first scene filmed. Inspired by starting off with such an intense scene the first day, Elliott decided to play up Bobby's raw heartbreak at his brother. The tears were unscripted. This is kind of amusing. I won't read all these because they'll get tedious, but Bradley Cooper had to undergo a full body spray tan every day and endure menthol around his eyes to look bloodshot and high. Meanwhile, Lady Gaga remained barefaced with only lip balm and moisturizer for a majority of the filming.
Yeah, he made a big deal. He took a lot of credit for stripping down all of her makeup.
He had to really fight to get Lady Gaga, by the way, apparently. The studio was not convinced.
Well, he won that battle.
Yeah, Sam Elliott claimed that after he accepted the role of Bobby, Bradley Cooper revealed to him that he'd already spent months of work with the dialect coach studying Elliott's voice as a model for Jackson Maine.
No pressure.
Yeah. There's tons of trivia, by the way. I won't read more there, but there's tons. I'm just scrolling. There's pages and pages and pages. So who knows how much of it's true, but
turns out this is kind of a beloved movie. It was a much bigger hit than I think anybody thought it would be.
Aww. The dog Ellie gets for Jackson is Bradley Cooper's actual dog, Charlie.
They had good chemistry.
Let's see, what's the
makes a lot of sense.
What's the box office here? I don't like IMDb's new format. Budgeted at $36 million, opening weekend in the U.S. was $42 million. U.S. and Canada gross was $215 million, and worldwide gross of $436 million.
Pretty good return on investment there.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's not too shabby. Yeah, very good. So All right. Anything else on the movie?
No, I'm glad you're not mad that I made you watch it.
No, if I really wanted to punish you, I'd make you watch Pure Country, which is a George Strait musical love movie.
Nice.
Otherwise, how did the dog handoff go? Now we're into housekeeping, by the way.
Oh, went good. Yeah, Michelle's daughter was there to do the handoff. Michelle was out of town. And kind of ran mom and dad through the paces a little bit. Talked through some do's and don'ts. And then handoff went good. I think this week or next week, Michelle gets back in town and is going to schedule a time to go out and do an in-person session at mom and dad's house.
Cool.
Yeah.
At the house, huh?
That's what it sounds like.
What else is going on? Put together a whole bunch of IKEA furniture over the last week.
I saw. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, no, it's pretty slick. I'm really impressed. It dominates the room, but it's fine. It's a guest room, but it's ready for company, so it's cozy.
Excellent.
It's a nice bed. They delivered it to my house, which was amazing. So that was worth it. So, and I ordered it on Sunday, and they delivered it on Monday. So
that's
no complaints.
That's nuts.
And it was just two guys, and of course I was working on Monday, and they gave me, you know, the window for delivery was like, we will deliver it at your house between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Oh, okay. And then when I called to confirm, they said it's automated system. They said, well, the system will notify you when they're about an hour out to warn you that they're on their way. And so I'm working from home on Monday, and I'm working, and I get a phone call, and it's automated system saying, hey, they're going to be in your neighborhood within the next 5 to 30 minutes. And before I hang up, they're actually pulling up in front of my house.
Oh, nice.
And so I'm like, oh, crap. I'm in the middle of a meeting and talking to my boss, and like, oh, this is bad. This is all bad timing. And Jesse had gone skating at the skate park with skateboard with his brother, so he wasn't here. So it's me and the dog, and I have to hold onto the dog while the two guys are bringing furniture into the house. It is 95 degrees, and they kept leaving the door open. And my air conditioning is running, and I'm just, you know, I don't want to yell at them because they're carrying all the furniture, because they took the furniture in the house up the stairs and put it in the room.
Nice.
The boxes, I should say. I shouldn't call it furniture because it was boxes. It was lots of boxes. So I gave them each a Pepsi, and they loved Griffin, and so they were happy. And then they took off, and then it was putting together furniture. So
nice.
So it's ready for guests. So anytime, you're always welcome.
We were just talking last night. We have a credit on Alaska Airlines from a trip we were going to take back in March of 2020 to Seattle, which didn't happen. So we've got a credit that we forgot about. And we have to use it by the end of this year. We're like, where could we go in like February, March-ish? That would be good just for a quick getaway. And yeah, we were thinking about Oregon. It's still reasonably warm there, right, in February?
It can be. It depends. It depends on the year. Sometimes it's you know, some of it's 50s and 60s and rainy and wet and damp. Last year it was 30s and 40s and slushy. It depends on where you go. I mean, don't forget, I live at the foot of the mountain, so it is colder here in the wintertime. Because I'm halfway between Mount Hood and Portland, so.
All right. You'll have to let me know how winter is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was fine. The winter last year was fine. We got snowed in for 4 or 5 days. Other than that, I didn't have any problems. I actually made it out of the neighborhood. And so I didn't have any problems, but then I know how to drive on snow and ice. So it's most of the Oregonians that are not accustomed to it. Even people out here, I think. People get really lulled into it. It's like the first time it rains, people lose their minds and forget that the roads are slick with oil when it rains, because the right. oil that's been just ambiently around is now wet. Mm-hmm. So it's always the first big rain is always a big deal. So
it doesn't look like a rainbow just for aesthetics.
It's just so surprising. You all have lived here longer than I have, some of you ostensibly, and yet every time, the first time it rains, you all just go crazy. So yeah, no, I mean, you're more than welcome to stay. It would just be you and Jennifer, or the four of you?
It would be the four of us.
Well, we would work something out.
Yeah, I don't know that we'd do that to you.
I have a queen size air mattress. I sleep in my office.
That's funny. The girls love air mattresses. I don't know why.
I think as a kid they were fun.
Yeah.
As an adult, I'm like,
it's a novelty.
They're not fun as an adult.
Yeah. Kids don't wake up with sore backs.
That's true. Yeah, no. Last time mom visited us at the old house, when it was just mom, she stayed in our room. And so she got our bed, and then Jesse and I slept on the air mattress in the basement. And by like the third day, he was like, we are not doing this again. And I was like, well, I don't imagine we will, but you know, I get it. But now the bed that we bought, the whole thing that I bought is nicer than the bed that I have now. So I was a little jealous when I was putting it together. I'm like, this is nicer than what I've got. How did I do that? So, but it all matches, which is kind of tickles my obsessive compulsive side a little bit. So
nice.
Although it's asymmetrical because I only have one little bookcase and I want two, but there's no way to put two in that room. It's just killing me though. It's unbalanced. But anyway, otherwise just status quo here. Yeah. It hasn't been a million degrees. So I'm looking forward to that. COVID numbers are up though, so that's not great. Stores are starting to go back into mask mode.
Good.
Yeah, it is good.
I'm trying to get better about wearing my mask out again. I mean, it's not going to be required up here, but it just seems smart.
Yeah, it's not required here, but what they're saying, what all the stores are saying is that it's in your interest. You know, we're not going to make you because there's no mandate, but you might want to think about it. So, you know, but the good news is that the scary thing is it's the kids. It's the little kids that are unvaccinated. That's the scary thing.
So, yeah. Real scary.
Yeah. Yeah. Because even the breakthrough infections of the vaccinated, they're still not getting fatalities. Not to any appreciable degree. Not like the unvaccinated. So, and Delta was a concern, but now Lambda's becoming a concern. So, I don't know that this is going away anytime soon.
Yeah, it's starting to feel like we missed our window.
It's going to be a long year. I thought last year, I thought we just have to get through the year, but I think we have another year. I'm looking at Christmas. I'm still looking at tickets. So I'll probably come up for a couple, 3-4 weeks. And Jesse will probably come up for just a week and a half. So
nice.
But we'll see. You know, I don't know about travel and.
Yeah, we've got a family vacation scheduled in October, and we're starting to have the conversations now where we're letting the girls know we're looking at it. There's a possibility it might not happen.
Where were you guys going to go?
Hawaii.
Well, the good news is that right now, all the airports and airplanes still require masks.
Yeah.
So I wasn't worried being on a plane because it was Alaska Airlines. So, I can't speak to the other airlines, but they were very proactive and very, very firm with people.
Good.
With masking and people wearing masks and keeping their masks on, and you need to have that up over your nose. And, they handled it very well, considering that, some people, especially some people from Alaska, were pretty belligerent about masking. So, when I flew back to Portland, at the airport waiting to board, there was a couple guys that weren't wearing masks on purpose. And the gate agent was like, "You got to put it on or you're not getting on the plane."
Good for them.
And they're like, "Oh," and she's like, "we can give your seat to somebody else." I was like, "Good for you." Well, that must have been satisfying. So I'm not afraid to fly as much as I'm just, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. My problem is I don't want to happen at work. So my work's a little crazy when it gets like this.
Yeah, I can imagine. So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're going to leave it right here. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies, so they go off on a tangent flow and maybe rambling. That's the Brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away unless you're driving. Keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way. Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.